It really has been good to be here. I can't thank the church enough for what they've done for me and my family. The stuff they got us, the house to stay in, I mean, the snacks, I mean, you just name it. The fellowship with Zach, we spent time, he got us high on chicken wings. I never went to a place where, I ain't kidding, I feel like they doped the wings. Me and my wife couldn't keep our eyes open. We're just like, oh man, we're laughing all crazy. And it was the craziest thing to eat chicken wings and get a buzz from them. I mean, my goodness. I had to repent this morning. I said, Lord, forgive me for eating them wings.
That's why I like that place so good.
I'm telling you, I guess. But I'm telling you, brother. Woo! But anyway, it was good. It's good to be. Look, if you didn't get nothing this week, the problem is not with God, it's with you.
Right.
I mean, you had to at least get something this week. Because if you walk out of here and you didn't get nothing this week, that's a serious problem. You're in more trouble than you really think.
Right.
You are in some serious trouble. Because look, the preaching that went on, exclude me. But the singing, the preaching, the quiet time, the fellowship and the praying, if you didn't get anything this week, it's deeper than you think. If you can leave this church the same as you came here this week, the problem is much deeper than what you think. It's a serious issue. We don't come to church to leave here the same that we came in here. We come to church to get help. The problem is, Brother Mike, is people are not preparing their hearts and expecting God to show up. You know what, Brother Steve? People don't want God to show up because it's going to force them to change. And people don't want God to change them because they like being where they're at. And until they come to a place, look at when God deals with the sin in my life and when he puts that, his finger on that, until I come to a place where I hate it the way he does, I will be stuck in that. I have to see it the way he does and I have to hate it the way God does. Otherwise, I'm going to continue to do it. And God, in his goodness and his mercy, will keep his finger on that thing until it's out of my life.
Right.
I thank God for a God who does that for me.
Amen. Right.
Couldn't do it myself. If I could do it myself, what did I need Jesus for, Zach? If I could change my own life and get rid of those things. Look, I can put Band-Aids on things real well. But how well did them Band-Aids hold up, Amy? God's not worried about putting a Band-Aid on anything.
Right.
He's going to squeeze. And he's going to push. He's going to open that thing. He's going to keep it open. He's going to keep it exposed until he gets in there and gets everything out that needs to get out. And then guess what? When he heals it, it's gone. I'm not crazy enough to punch the pulpit. Just saying. I love Brother Rose. But I'm just saying this. God's not into the quick fix. He wants to get to the bottom of that thing. And he wants it to be gone permanently. You see, the things that God has taken out of my life, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why? Why is that, Michael? Because God has brought me to a place where I hate those things the way he hates them. And you know why he does that? So that they most likely will not return to those things. Go read Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 and 3. And it says, you will remember. You will remember the way the Lord thy God had led thee these 40 years. You'll remember those things. You'll remember what you went through. Why? Because you won't want to turn back to them then.
Amen.
When God puts you through that wilderness, you'll remember it and you will not lightly go back to it. I guarantee you that.
Right.
If you lightly go back to something, all you do is put a Band-Aid on it.
Right.
God's not in the Band-Aid business.
Amen.
He's in the fixing business, taking care of it permanently.
Right.
Today, people don't believe that today, Brother Mike. They don't believe that God can take care of something permanently. That's why they're strung out for years and years and years. I'm telling you today, man, there's a God in heaven. Let me just tell you, there's a God in heaven that is nothing impossible.
Right.
It seems impossible, right, Zach, to deal with the NIVers and all that? But it says this, with God, nothing's impossible.
Right.
But boy, it sure feels like it.
Right.
When I go into that jail and that them jails and prisons, and I'm dealing with those men and women, I have to tell them, look it, man, with you, you think it's impossible. But with God, no, nothing's impossible.
Right.
To get a person to believe that today. Go ahead and get out there and tell that person to believe that. They need Jesus plus this program. They need a Bible plus that program. Mm-hmm. I'm not for all that nonsense. And I love the way you put that, Zach. I do. I love the way you put that. That a lot of churches are covering up their deadness with programs. That's how they attract people. Here, come and eat. Here, come and let's do this. Here, let's come and do that. Why? Because they can't simply say, hey, come hear the preaching of the Word of God. You know why? They don't want to hear preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
You ever get in one of those programs? They talk about the Word of God for about 2 or 3 minutes, and the rest of the time is about some stupidity.
Right.
That's all it is. Thank God. Anyway, I thank you guys. Thank the church for the things you've done. Thank you for welcoming. You always welcome us, and we love it. And I just can't believe it's it here. It's it. We're out of here tomorrow morning. We're leaving, and you know, sometimes it gets hard to leave people you love and the people you love being around and the fellowship and all that. But you know, He's got things for each and every one of us in our lives. And so, look at, turn with me to Job 33. Let's spend a few minutes here. There's some things that's going to be said here today that maybe you've never heard before. That's all right. There's some things that you never heard people say about the God we serve because, you know, Zach, you hit it on the head. Everybody just wants to hear about this lovey-dovey, puffy God. I forgot I was reading a book and it said one of the biggest lies people are being told today is that God loves you. They're not being told anything else.
Right.
They're being brought to a cross and then resurrection. They're not dying.
Right.
There's no death in that.
Right.
There's no death. Hey, Jesus Christ had to die in that thing. And a person, a sinner, somebody who's lost, doesn't need to just come to the cross and go straight to the resurrection. There's some death that's going to go on there. I thank God for that, brother. I thank God for that death, and I thank God for that resurrection that He's done in my life. Job chapter 30. My allergies are acting up pretty bad the last couple days, so forgive me if I have to stop and get something to drink because I'll get in a coughing fit. Job chapter 33, verse 29 says this. Lo, all these things work God oft times with man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. We do thank you for your goodness, Lord. I pray that you give me clarity of mind. Give me clarity of heart, Lord. Help me to speak these things that you would have, Lord, and just ask that you have the people here have ears to hear and obedient hearts, my God. I pray that you give them that grace and mercy. I pray that somebody will leave here differently than when they came in here today, not because of Dale Morey, but because of Jesus Christ and the Word of God that's cut through those things that need to be cut with, Lord, that you deal with those things that need to be dealt with. And we thank you so much for what you've already given us this morning in Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for that gift, that demand to preach, Lord, and tell us and teach us those things that we need to hear. And my God, we already thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' holy and precious name we do pray, amen and amen. And I want you to see here that God has a purpose for doing what he does. The problem is in our human nature, we want to try to question God like he has to answer us for what he does.
Right.
You show me one time in that Bible where God owes us an explanation. I hear people all the time tell me, well, Dale, why does God allow this? Why does God allow this? I say, my friend, you don't have a right to question God, especially if you're a lost person. You're not his child. But I tell them, well, why does God allow these young babies to get killed and this to go on? I say, you know why? Because God's trying to get mankind to see the wickedness of their heart. The wickedness that's in man's heart. God allows that so man will see the wickedness of their own heart. But you know what they do? They blame God. Because they don't want to see the wickedness of their own heart. But I'm going to tell you right now, God has a purpose for everything that he does in this. Look at everything that we know, God has a purpose and a reason for it.
Right.
We may not understand it. We may not always agree with it. But it's always righteous. It's always pure. And it's always done in a perfect love. Always. When a God casts a person in hell because they reject him and they choose hell over him, he has done it in a perfect love for that person. Why? He's holy. He's righteous. They've become a salted sacrifice. You do realize the Bible says that all sacrifices will be salted. Go read the New Testament. Tell me what it says about that salted sacrifice from a person who rejects Jesus Christ and they go to hell. God strove his entire life. It says, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. You see, it's not like God just left somebody strung out there and they didn't know. Oh no, God's been working in people.
Right.
I had a guy tell me this, Brother Mike. He said, if God is so loving, and then why does he choose to put people in hell? I said, my friend, he chose a cross. They choose hell.
Right.
He chose a cross to die on. That person who rejects Jesus Christ is the one who chose hell. God didn't put him there.
Right.
God didn't want him to go there. He gave the way out. It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Why come to Jesus? My goodness, could you imagine, Steve? I was 40 years old when I got saved. 40 years of living out there in the world. 40 years of being out there in sin. Could you imagine if I would have got saved a whole lot earlier, all the stuff that the problems I would have saved myself? 40 years. And this beautiful, wonderful Jesus was the last thing I ever looked upon, Zach. Why is Jesus the last resort for everybody? And then everybody expects Jesus just to answer them right away and bow down to them after they've lived the life they want to live. Hey, Christian, you ever wonder why God's not hearing your prayers right now? How are you living? He's not a genie in the bottle. You can live any way you want, and he's going to answer you at any your beck and call.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, you got the wrong one.
Yeah.
That's right.
He expects things out of us, Zach. We don't live according to our purpose anymore. Isn't that what the Bible says, that we're called according to his purpose? I lost my purpose when I became a living sacrifice. Look it. For good or for bad, God knows what he's doing. God is out there. Look at John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12 here. I want you to see something here. John chapter 12. Look at a different side of God here for a minute that most people don't know. But look what it says here in John chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 37. And talking about Jesus Christ here, and he says, but though he had done many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him.
Right.
You understand? There's not a person in this room who hasn't seen Jesus Christ do miracles in somebody's life for salvation, deliverance, or whatever it is, answered
right.
prayers. But yet you still believe not on him.
Right.
Hang on, look at this. Look at this. Look at the next verse here, what it says. And that saying, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report.
Right.
Zach just talked about that in Sunday school. Who has believed the report of the changed life, the answered prayer, the miracles that Jesus Christ has done in a life that you have seen with your own eyes. And you still don't believe that report.
Right.
How about when people get up here and testify? And testimonies are going on. And yet there are still lost people in this church. Why? Because they're not believing that report.
Right.
They've seen the miracles, brother. And yet they believe not. Look what it says here. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. Look what it says. Because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and harden their heart. Hey, my friend, I just want to tell you a little something right here, that he is God. God has blinded their minds. He has done that to their hearts. Why? Because of their unbelief.
Right.
Right.
And a person sits there and wonders why they can't get saved.
Right.
Is that a permanent reprobate? No, it's not. It's not what he's talking about here. But look what it says here. Because their unbelief is, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. My friend, I'm telling you right now, if you would believe in a holy God, if you would believe in what Jesus Christ has done, he says he'll heal your heart and you will be converted.
Right.
But God has to harden people's hearts and blind their eyes. You know why? Because of sin nature. And he's got a work to do in their life. He's got a work to do in their hearts. And because of their unbelief, now he's going to work even harder. You see, God came to seek and save that which is lost.
Man.
And because of your unbelief, now he's got to harden things. You know, I watched Brother David over and over again. People who are seeking. And they come to a place where they really believe that they're absolutely broken. And they come up to an altar. And it was just one more thing God had to show them. He wasn't ready to show them everything yet. Just one more thing that he had to show them. Just one more thing. Why? Because he's hardened their hearts. Because of their unbelief. They watch it over and over again. They hear the men. They hear good preaching every week here. I know that for a fact. I know they're hearing Bible preaching here. God has blinded the minds. Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 11. Romans chapter 3, verse 11. Look what it says here. Most of you probably can quote it, but I want to read it and get an understanding. It says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Is that a contradiction? Did that Bible just contradict itself? No, it says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Why? Because God hides that from a person. He's the one who's going to reveal it to that person. He's the one who's going to open their heart and their minds up. You know why? Because people get busy looking at what a man does. They get busy trying to look at religion.
Right.
God is going to show that person. Look, you said it this morning. Here's Peter and Jesus Christ, and they're walking up the street. Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? I'm the Christ, Son of the living God. You know what Jesus said? Flesh and blood had not shown that unto thee, but my Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You see, God in heaven, for you unbelievers that are sitting in this room today, God in heaven has to show that to you. Otherwise, you're not going to see it. Why? Because your hearts are hard. Your ears are closed up. Your understanding's been shut off. Most of you can preach the Bible better than any Baptist that I know. And yet you sit here lost today. Why is that? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Right.
You can't receive the Spirit. Look at it says here. They are foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You're spiritually discerned. You're not understanding the things of God. You're trying to understand things in your natural man. And this is why you remain lost today. You won't allow the Spirit of God to come in and show you. He's trying to remove your understanding so that you'll see Him and what He has to say. It's not working for what you're doing. 4 years I sat in a church pew lost, wondering, how come when I do all these things, Amy, isn't it working? You know what it took? When I finally realized that I have to stop doing those things myself and start looking unto God, whence cometh my help. The salvation belongeth unto the Lord, not Dale Morey.
All right.
That's where salvation come from. But it took me a long time to realize that. Miss Stephanie, it took for me, Mike, to realize that I was a rebel against the Holy God. You go, well, that's pretty simple, wasn't it? For you, not for me. That's what God had to show me, Brother Steve, for me to get saved. I had to understand. You know why? Because I always came to the altar. I'm sorry for being a drug addict. I'm sorry for being an alcoholic. I'm sorry for being this and I'm sorry for being that. And God says, you don't even see that you're doing these things against the Holy God. That's my problem. That's the issue.
Right.
Man, Brother Mike, when I seen that, guess what? I got saved. Guess what? My life has changed. I'm not the same person.
Glory to God.
I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago, not even close. You know what, Michael? My whole life I spent trying to change me, and guess what happened? Nothing. Jesus Christ, that's in my life 10 years ago. My goodness. The doctors can't even believe it, can they, Amy? Psychiatrists can't even believe that I'm not on psych medicines with everything they diagnosed me with. You know why? Because they never told me that my conscience is dirty and I'm without Christ.
Right.
Imagine if a doctor would have ever told me that. That might have helped me a long time ago. But you know, a lost person is spiritually disarmed. They don't like the things of God. I think, brother, you said that this morning. The things of God is not a joy to them. So what Paul says this, the commandments of God are not grievous. If the commandments of God are grievous right. to you, that's an issue.
Right.
There's a problem. To be spiritually discerned is one who cannot perceive or recognize, comprehend or understand spiritual things clearly. They can't see him. So what does God have to do? God has to try to remove all those things. He's going to harden their hearts. He's going to harden their minds to those things that are around them, such as our religious duties. I can tell you right now, I know people who are so faithful as lost people in their religious duties, and it's done nothing for them, Mike. Now, how does God reach through that then, Zach? Tell me that. Tell me, has he reached through it yet, Mike? I don't know, more faithful people to read their Bibles, stay in church, and what's it done for them? Right. Still sitting there lost. So you mean to tell me that God don't have to harden their hearts? How else is he going to get their attention if he can't remove everything away from them? Because they keep looking at what they're doing. Spiritually discerned. They don't have the understanding. They're not seeking God. They're seeking a salvation. It says to seek God, not salvation. They're in a religion. The only way they're ever going to hear is by God hardening that heart and removing all those things that are around them.
That's right.
The only thing they have left is to focus on Jesus Christ. Brother Zach, I loved it when that psychiatrist told me, he said, Mr. Moore, he goes, I don't know if there's any more hope for you. Thank God I came to that place where there's no more hope for me in this world. Thank God that woman with the issue of blood understood that there was no more hope for her in those doctors. She only had one place to go, and that was Jesus Christ. She understood that. My friend, if you ever understand the only place you ever have to go is Jesus Christ, you'll get to him and he'll do something for you.
Amen.
The problem is you're looking at everything else around you. Spiritually discerned. They can't make the time to recognize a difference or distinction between what is of God and what is of the devil, what is of their heart and what's of this world. They can't make a distinction of that anymore. And so God is trying to harden that. He's trying to get them to see beyond what they already are. You know what? God had to show me something, Brother David. Something that I, myself, had not seen before. You see, everybody wants to keep trying to come to Jesus with the things they've already seen. He's not trying to waste his time on showing you the same thing over and over again. He's trying to show you something different. And let me just say this. It's buried deep in there. That's why Proverbs 20:27 says this, that God put a spirit in every person.
Right.
And it's a candle that lights the inward parts of the belly.
Right.
The inward parts of the belly.
Right.
The inward parts of the belly. It's those deep-seated things that he's trying to get at. Not the things you already know. It's not a wonder why you're not saved. You keep trying to get saved with the same things over and over again. And it's not going to be that. Oft times, God is working. Why? To show them what that is. To show them.
Right.
Why? Because he's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a God who wants to see him saved. That's why he went to the cross, for God so loved the world. How many more times do we have to hear about him being a God that seeks? How many more times do we have to hear about the blood on Calvary that he shed while we're his enemies, he shed for us? How many of your enemies have shed their blood for you? Tell me that right now. But yet he chose to shed his blood on Calvary.
Right.
So you mean to tell me the power and the blood of Jesus Christ means nothing? And you expect to come to an altar and be saved with that attitude? Is that what it is? God help us. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 10 about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. My friends, there is a big difference in that.
Amen.
There's a big difference. Godly sorrow says it worketh repentance to salvation.
Right.
But worldly sorrow worketh death. That's both a spiritual separation from a holy God because of what you're doing against Him, and then eventually a physical death. Godly sorrow. Know what you are in God's eyes. Knowing what you are in His eyes. Not what you are as a human being. You keep trying to see what you are as a human being, and God is not concerned with that. He's concerned about what you are in His eyes. That godly sorrow is called contrition in Psalm 51. What is contrition? It's a deep and absolute sorrow for the things that you've done against the holy God. Until a person gets to that point, they'll remain lost.
That's right.
You'll never get saved.
That's right.
Because you keep trying to come to the altar here with worldly sorrow.
Right.
Worldly sorrow worketh death.
Mm-hmm.
Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation.
Right.
What's the difference? Godly sorrow and contrition is a deep, absolute sorrow for the things you've done against the holy God. That's what God wants you to see. You know what? Only God can show you that.
Right.
Only God can show you that. We can stand up here and we can preach God's word, but it's His word that comes out of our mouth. You know, I've been a failure for the last 10 years as a Christian. I'm a failure. I'm probably one of the worst Christians that live on this planet. But you know why God uses me? Because I preach His word.
Good.
It's not because of me. There's nothing that I can do, Mike, that would ever want you to say, hey, I'd like to follow Dad. But everything I preach will turn you to Jesus.
Right.
This is the only help. There's no help outside of it. Look at, religion's not going to help anybody. Religion can't change. Look at, religion didn't change a goody two-shoe, I'll call her that. According to the world, my wife was a goody two-shoe. She did everything good and she did everything right and she paid her taxes. But in God's eyes, the goody two-shoe needed to be saved.
That's right.
And that's why I love using my wife's testimony. You know why? Because those girls in prison think that only people like me and them need to be saved. They don't realize good church people need to be saved.
That's right. That's right.
They don't realize that, Mike. They only see their own filth. They only see because why? What are they looking at, Mike? They're looking at the laws of man that they've broken. God's looking at the laws that you've broken of His.
Right.
What you are. That sin nature. Those sins are because of what you are. That's what you are. When you look in that mirror, say, this is what I am. That's what God wants a person to see. What they are. I know a lot of lost religious people are going to go to hell from a church pew.
Right. Sir.
Why? That sin nature's never been dealt with. They've never seen who they are really in God's eyes. I don't care how much of a goody two-shoe you are in this world. You're going to stand before a holy God one day and He's going to judge you for what you are. What you are. That's what God wants to deal with. Let me just say this. I'm not much into science at all. I think most of it's a bunch of nonsense. I don't even get into it. I don't study behind it. I don't look at it. I could care less about it. But one thing caught my eye that I was reading on. Brother Zach, if I was going to die in the next few weeks, and you needed a heart to live, and I was the perfect match for you to have my heart when I die, I'd give it to you, buddy. I would love for you to have it. You know why? Because I want you to live. Now I die. They do the surgery, they take my heart, and they put it in the Zach. And as soon as Zach gets healed up enough and he goes home, he's going to go home and his wife's going to say, honey, let's go out and celebrate, and let's go out there and have a nice, fish dinner or something. And then Zach orders it, and he sits down and takes a bite of it and goes, oh my God, this is disgusting. And pushes that plate away and said, I could never eat that again. Gets home and Amber says, honey, you know, there's a light bulb. Can you get up there and you change that light bulb on your little step stool? And he goes to get up on that step stool and goes, yeah, I just start shaking. I'm afraid. I can't get on that step stool. You see what's happened? Scientifically, it's proven that you will take on some of my fears. Because it was a change of heart. You know why people stay the same after they make professions? No change of heart, my friend.
Right.
No change of heart. Nothing different about them. A person is saved when their heart is changed towards the things of God. Repentance is to turn from who you are and those things you are to a holy God. Right. And that's only going to come by a change of heart. It's never going to come by a profession. God doesn't want to just change a person's outward appearance.
Right.
He wants to change everything about them. And I thank God for that, Zach. I thank God that God wanted to change who I was from the inside out.
Amen.
Right.
As a person who made a lot of professions, I could make a lot of things look real good. But quickly it would slip away. Quickly it didn't look good anymore. Why? Because there was no heart change. God wants to change the heart of a person. He wants to change what they are. He's not concerned about what they do. He'll take care of that. When Jesus Christ healed that woman with the issue of blood, he healed the plague. 1 Kings chapter 8 says that every person, when they pray, that God would show them the plagues of their heart. Show them,
right.
Lord, what am I? Show me what I am. Show me, I need to see what I am so I can take care of this thing. And when that woman got to Jesus Christ and touched, guess what he says? He says, woman, thy faith has made thee whole, not part, not halfway, not maybe, not in between.
Right.
Of what? Thy plague.
Right.
Didn't she go to Jesus Christ with her issues? Issues are the only outward things that we see. God wants to deal with the inward part of your plague. Why? Because then those issues will go away.
Right, the plague of that heart.
Plague of that heart. Deal with it. Let Jesus Christ touch it. Let him get in there and expose those things. And it hurts.
Right.
It's painful. But the healing that comes from it, you can't even speak of it, can you, Miss Stephanie? I'm just telling you right now, the healing that comes when Jesus Christ steps in and he takes care of the plague of that heart and those issues, those outward things start going away.
Amen.
Woo! I'm just telling you, there ain't nothing like it.
God.
What a wonderful God we have. This is why oft times God's got to work with me, because there's a lot in there.
Amen.
There's a lot in there. A lot of stuff God had to remove out of my life. A lot of professions and knowledge. You want to talk about somebody who came home from prison who could quote any Bible to you? I could. You ask my wife. I absolutely 100% convinced her by my knowledge that I was something that I was not. I convinced the world of something that I was not. But I couldn't convince Jesus Christ, my friend. Jesus Christ had to pinpoint me. You're lost.
Right.
I knew about Buddhists and all the Indian things and NOI and Nation of Islam and all kinds of ESVs and NIVs and New King James and King James. I could preach all that stuff, couldn't I, Amy? Because people hold on to knowledge. And this is knowledge puffeth up. It makes a person think they're something they're not. It's a prideful knowledge. It's a misplaced knowledge. And people are going to hell with it, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much Bible you know. You can't live a Bible without Jesus Christ.
Right. That's right.
You can know all the Bible you want, and it'll never do you any good.
Right. No, that's right.
Knowledge puffeth up. It makes people think they're something they're not. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to tear that down. He wants to destroy it. He doesn't want you to only know it, but he wants to give you the Holy Ghost so you can live it.
Amen.
Live it. I could never live this Bible stuff without Jesus Christ. I couldn't live this Bible stuff. It shows after 40 years I couldn't do it. God help us. 2 Timothy 3:7. I'm going to share that with you. I know it's getting warm in here. I see people's eyes are starting to roll. We'll be done in a minute. I kept it short. But I'll tell you, I'm going to get to the point of this matter. It's a serious thing here.
Yes, sir.
It's a serious thing that needs to be dealt with. So try to stay focused.
Staying up too late watching television.
That's what it is. Okay. I'm just telling you. We went to after eating those chicken wings. I think we went to bed at like 8, didn't we? I slept clear until 4 o'clock this morning. I was like, wow, man. Hey, get off the sleeping pills. Go to East Side Wings or whatever it's called. Get yourself some wings, and you'll go to sleep just fine. Oh, my goodness.
Dude.
No. What is it called? East Coast Wings. It made nothing from my IRA from the East Coast. Oh, maybe. Look at 2 Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many people do we know that are ever learning? Ever learning. But they can never come to that knowledge of the truth of what salvation and repentance is. Ever learning. Ever learning. That's what, when I was in prison, that's what I did. That was my whole life. Is I learned and I learned and I learned and I learned and I learned. And guess what it never did? It never brought me to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Because I was looking in the wrong place. I was looking for knowledge. I was looking to fit in somewhere. For the first time, you know what I really wanted? You know why I did that? Because I really wanted to get out of the lifestyle that I was in. I really did want out of it at that time, Brother David. But let me tell you what them religious workers never did for me. It's to show me how to get out of that. Those men that came in and ministered to me in that prison they couldn't tell me how to get out of a wet paper bag. You'll be okay. You'll be all right. That's just the devil doing that to you. Thank God I had a pastor with some wisdom.
Amen.
Who would see through that nonsense. Amen. When I met my pastor, I'm sitting on the edge of a porch, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, in a wife beater, saved, addicted to pornography, cussing out my family, saved. He came up to me and said, the new pastor at Black Creek Baptist Church. I said, look it, man. Your Jesus don't work for people like me. He only saves good people. You can go home with that. He said, that's fine. You know Pastor Johnny. That stuff won't bother him. I'll face him a bit. Somebody says that to him. He's talking to me. He's talking to my wife. I said, I just want you to know. And I'm crying. I just want you to know I'm saved. And I'm cussing and everything else and telling how weak Jesus is. And I just want you to know how saved I really am. He said, that's fine. Then come to church. I'm not coming to your church. Brother, that's how most people are trying to approach Jesus Christ today. How about that man who brings his son possessed with the devils, not demons. Demons is never found in your King James Bible. I just want you to know that. I want you to be clear. That demons is a Greek thing. It's not a Bible thing.
Right.
Devils. Devils.
Right.
The devils came into that little boy. The father said, well, I think I can get help with this Jesus. He brings his son to the disciples. Disciples can't do nothing. Later on, Jesus Christ rebukes them. And he tells them this. He says, some of these only come out by prayer and fasting. Jesus Christ gives us power to live his life. This life. But when we start trying to do it without him, we become weak. That's why his disciples couldn't cast out those devils. Why? Because they didn't pray and fast. They thought they had everything. We're good. We don't need Jesus anymore. Let's just go cast out devils. Let's go heal people. We're not going to pray and fast anymore. And then Jesus Christ said, you know what? You left me out of that. There's going to come time in your life where something's not going to come out of your life. You're not going to be able to handle that situation because you left Jesus Christ out of it. Here Jesus says, what's going on? I'm going to give you the DJV. That's the Dale James version. Here's what the man says to Jesus. If thou can make him whole. If. Do you know you may not say that out loud But in your heart, that's how you're approaching Jesus Christ. Whether it be for salvation or whether it be a prayer or something you want in your life, you try to approach Jesus Christ with if. Well, if you can save me, if this is the problem, if this is the answer, if. And you know what, Jesus Christ? I can imagine the smirk on his face when he answers that man and he tells him this. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. How many things?
All things.
Now, was that a mistake of putting that in there? Here's what the Father did. Picture this in your head. He's standing in front of a holy God. He's standing in front of Jesus, who just absolutely dealt with his unbelief. He tells him, the man says this, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You see? The man had a knowledge enough to try to come to Jesus Christ. Yeah. But he didn't have the belief for his son to be healed of those devils. And Jesus Christ, didn't the son come for that? Then why was Jesus Christ dealing with the man? You see, sometimes men, let me just say this. Sometimes men, Jesus Christ has to deal with something in your life before your family gets right. Because he put us in charge of the family. If we got something going on in our life, then God's not going to help with our family. And you're going to watch it get destroyed. And you're going to watch it fall apart because of your unbelief. Because you don't want to see that thing that he wants to deal with in your life. God help us.
Right.
The man was put in charge of that family. To carry that family on his shoulders, not the other way around. Okay. Today, that's how it is. You know why? You know why? Because most women have to step up in the men's position.
Right.
That's reality today in Christian homes.
Right.
The woman has to step up into the man's position. Why? Because she can't find herself a man. All she's got is a little feminine male.
Right.
Reacts on his emotions. Everything's about an emotion with him. An emotion with him. An emotion with him.
That's right.
Watch your family be destroyed over that then. It will happen. That's a fact. Because God has given men a responsibility. And I've watched, brother, and it breaks my heart. You know why? Because I want that boy right there to see men. I want him to see what a man looks like. And you can't even find them in Baptist churches anymore. God forbid I want him to see men. So he don't ever step out. I want him to see a man. So he don't ever have to step out. Those young boys need to see men.
Right. Right.
How about your daughter? What do you want her to marry?
Right.
A man. A godly man. Well, we can't find them in churches anymore. Thank God there's a few churches that have some men in them that I know. Thank God I like coming here. Why? Because I know we're going to see some men here. I know we're going to hear some men. Some men that pray, Brother Mike. Your prayers and your singing, man, just gets to me. Thank God for Brother Mike. I love you, man. Man, my son gets to watch that.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. My son gets to hear what it is to be a man, Miss Barbara. My daughter. What do I want her to marry? I don't know where I got off on that, but there it is. Have fun with it. Do what you want to do with it. Wrap it up and take it home. And hopefully you'll do something with it. We're almost done here. He cooled it off in here. It feels good. We can preach a little while longer.
I need to gain some weight.
Me too. No, I'm just kidding. Look at. I just want to read a few more things. I promise we're almost done.
Pat on my bones.
Job 10, 1 and 2 says this. And this is the cry of most lost people sitting in churches today. He says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. What is that? Hey, you're serious about getting saved today? And look at me. Look, don't shake this week off then.
Right.
Because I'm telling you right now, if you understood, anybody ever work in a jail ministry here where they went in and there was men on death row? They're dead men walking.
That's right.
If you're unsaved in this room, you're a dead person walking.
Job says, show me wherefore thou do not condemn me. Don't condemn me. He understood his standing before a holy God. Do you understand your standing before a holy God without Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Because it's the truth, man. It's the Bible. You're a dead person walking, and at any moment you can walk out that door and it's over with. You'll never have the opportunity again. But Job in his fasting said, show me where you contend with me, Lord. It was a serious matter to him. And I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I remember David. I remember when I was coming to the end of myself. It was a day or two before me getting saved. I was afraid to eat because I thought I was going to choke and die and go to hell. I was afraid to get in the car, Brother Mike. I was afraid. I was shook. Because I understood, man, it could be any moment God could just take me out. You know where that kept me? It kept me in prayer, man, because I was afraid. Lord, please. Me and my wife, wouldn't we grab hands and we say, all right, we're going to eat now, Lord. Please don't let us choke and we just start crying. Please don't let this car crash when we go to this. When we go to service tonight. Don't let us die on the way there. We're going to go to hell if we do. Don't. Where do you see that anymore? Because they don't understand their condemnation under a holy God.
Right.
They have no understanding of that, Zach. Zero. If you understood that, what about those men on death row, Brother Steve? They fight for their life. They exhaust everything they can. They fight for 10, 15, 20 years with all their might not to have to go to death row. How about it here, lost person? How about it?
Right. You're dead on.
How about it? Look what it says. Why is God contending with them? I'm not going to read. Go read Romans chapter 1. Go look at all the foolishness in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. All the things that they're in. Look at, you may not be in a sodomy. But look, I bet you got murder in your heart. But you got deceit in your heart. But you got lies in your heart. Romans 1:19 says this. I just want to read that one verse because I want you to see. It says, Romans 1:19 says, because they which may be known of God. So we know already God is trying to make things known. Look what it says here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. That is means it is made known. Right. Look at where it says. It is made manifest in them. For God hath. That H-A-T-H is a definite article. He has shown you inside of you. He has made himself known unto you so that you are without excuse, and yet you are here as a lost person. That's what it says. That God inside of you, inside of himself, he has made manifest those things of God so that you are without excuse. What are you going to say if you were to die here today and stand before a holy God of why you're not saved? Can you tell me what you tell him? I've had a lot of bad things happen to me in my life. As a child molested by a man. But Brother Mike, I couldn't stand before a holy God and say, because that man done that to me is why I'm like this today. God would say, Dale, you're going to hell. You know why? Because I'm responsible for my soul.
Right.
It became a time in my life where I became responsible for my soul. Me, I had to answer for who I was in the eyes of God. I had to answer for that sin nature. I couldn't blame it on anybody else in my past. Why? Because God's been working off times with me to show me that. Got no excuse. What excuse could we possibly have before a holy God? Tell me, what is it? There's none.
Right.
None. Not only has it made it inside creation, not only has it made it visible through the preaching.
Right.
How are we born again? The Word of God. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, which is the Word of God. Where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Who does God give saving faith to? Romans 3:23, Galatians 3:23, another. Who does he give it to? Those who believe. Repentant sinners who believe.
Right.
26. Because of unbelief, God has turned them over to this. God has turned them over to the hardness of their hearts. He's turned them over. You know why? Because he's trying to work with them again. But you know when God starts hardening that person's heart? They're getting close to a dangerous ground. Because there is a time, it says in the book of Revelations, that they'll no longer hear the bride. That candle will no longer shine inside that person. He'll stop. It'll be over with. That's what they'll be turned over to. God forbid there's anybody in this room that happens with. But I'm telling you right now, Proverbs 29:1 says that. Right? A person who's often, I forgot how it went. Often reproved.
Being often reproved.
Hardened is hardened. What's it say?
Hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that
without remedy. Without remedy. That means nothing can be done any longer. It's over with. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Because he, look, above all things, he's holy. He's righteous. He's going to stick. He's not going to tell one white lie to keep you out of hell.
Right.
He just won't do it. Man, if it only took one thing to keep you out of hell, Mike, if it took one little white lie or one crooked thing, God would not do it. He'd rather see you in hell. Why? Because he's holy and righteous. That's his laws. That's who he is. But you know what? That doesn't have to be. You know why? He chose a cross.
Amen.
He put a roadblock there, didn't he, Brother Mike? Right. He put a roadblock there between you and that law and you and God. That wall partition, that law has been broke down because of the cross. That wall partition has been broke down because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing has to... You can guess what? You don't have to live close anymore. You can live nigh.
That's right.
You can live nigh unto God.
Right.
I'm going to close with this. John 1:12 says, but as many as have received him, you have to repent and believe to receive. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's a spiritual birth. And without this, you are of the devil, as John 8:44 and 45 says, that you are of the devil and not of God. Without that spiritual birth, you're living in this world, and guess what? The small g of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest. I love that word lest in the King James Bible. Why? Because that brings hope to a lost person. Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. He didn't have to put that in there, Brother Mike. He could have left it out there and sent you to hell. But he said, lest. What's he want? He wants that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to shine upon you. Watch it. You can be saved so you're no longer blinded.
Amen.
You read it earlier. Brother Zach says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. That's a serious accusation. Imagine that. Imagine walking around, and because you're not of God, the love of the world is in your heart. And it says, the love of the Father is not in you.
That's right.
Look at God is trying to open the understanding of your heart. And I'm going to close with this two verses right here. God is trying to open. I want to just read two quick things. Ready? You just stay there. Hold on. Put your seatbelt on for a minute. I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to stop. Job chapter 23, and we're going to be done. Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 16. And this is what it says. Behold, I go forward, and he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You understand? Job is in a position where he can't find God no matter what he's doing. And I know that it will get to that point in your life We say, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter what I say. I can't seem to find God. My friend, take rest in this. He's already found you. He's working. Because the next verse says that he's my foot hath he held his had held his steps. His ways have I kept, not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. When have you taken preaching? When have you taken that conviction and it became more to you than the food that you eat? That's how you know when a person's ready to get saved. You ask these ladies here what it's like for a child to be in that birth canal and get stuck. It's painful. Terrific. They can't stop. They can't stop thinking about it. That's a person in the birth canal. And if you're not such a case, you've not reached the birth canal yet. When you can walk out of church week after week after week after week after week after week after week and have not come under that Holy Ghost conviction, have not allowed that thing to leap outside this door, my friend, you're not in the birth canal. But be of good cheer. Here's the last verses I'm closing with. Job 33, and it says this, and I'm done. Verses 27 through 30, and here's what it says. He looketh upon men, if any say, I have sinned. Anybody who doesn't think they've sinned? No, you all can admit. That's very easy. Anybody can do that. Go in a club and ask somebody, have you sinned? Yeah, I sinned. It's a light thing for a person to come to the realization of their sin. That's why it's easy to lead somebody down the Romans road. Hey, have you sinned? Good, say this prayer. Here's a few verses. What's that? What are those verses in the Romans road show a person? Nothing. Does it show them why they're a sinner? Does it show them why they need to be saved? They already know they're a sinner, so why are we going to tell them again? You know what Paul says? The law is the schoolmaster. Right. It's the law that brings the person. It's the law that shows the person what they are.
Yeah. Right.
Paul said this, I will not have no covetousness. It was the law that showed Paul he was lost, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law. And he say, I have sinned and perverted that which is right. You know, that perversion in the Bible doesn't always mean something sexual.
Right.
Not obeying your parents, young people, is a perversion of what is right in God's eyes.
That's right.
An absolute and complete perversion, so much so that he put it in the Old and the New Testament for you young people. It's a perversion. And older people, that's one of the things God had to work with me on. And it profited me not. People brag on their sin today, even in church.
Yes.
You know what, Brother Mike, it was just this week. Thank God for the preaching that went on this week. You know why? You can ask my wife, I told her, I said, my God, Amy, I've been out there with my testimony, bragging on the things that I used to do instead of glorifying Jesus. Just this week I saw that. I'm a young Christian. I'm still learning. Throw stones at me if you like. That's fine with me. I don't care. But God had to show me that through my testimony, I was being more braggatory than on myself and the things that I did than trying to glorify Jesus. And you couldn't get something out of this services? That shows you the difference, Zach, when a person comes in with a heart ready to hear what God has to say. And a person who isn't. Here it is. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things work God oft times with man. Why? To bring his soul back from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. To be enlightened. God wants to enlighten those blinded eyes. And it says, mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold not thy peace, and I will speak. For if thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee thy wisdom. God wants you to not just understand that you're a sinner, or that you just perverted that, which is right, because most of you can say you've done that. But he wants you to know it profited nothing. Look it. If God has hardened your heart towards those things of God, you need to get right with it. It's not going to happen any other way. I'm done, Brother David. Thank you.